The lung illness that public health officials have linked with vaping and e-cigarettes has gotten international attention, and it's led to a new level of scrutiny of their health effects. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says nearly 1,500 people have reported having the illness nationwide. A total of 33 people have died. But when patients first started to show up at hospitals in Wisconsin with symptoms back in June, our next guest says we knew almost nothing about the illness and what was causing it. Dr. Luella Amos is a pulmonologist with the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. She's part of the team that uncovered the link between the lung illness and vaping. She joined us earlier today from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Dr. Amos, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what were some of the first things you were seeing and hearing from patients back in the summer who we now know had this apparent vaping-related lung illness?
So the teens that were coming in were developing acute onset chest pain, cough, shortness of breath. But before that, they were having some other nonspecific symptoms like fatigue, fever, night sweats, GI complaints like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and significant weight loss.
And I imagine the first thought is this is some kind of infectious illness. Was that something you and your colleagues were looking at as you saw not just one, but multiple kids come in with these symptoms?
Yes. The symptoms that I just described are, you know, similar to the typical flu symptoms that you would see in the middle of winter. So we thought this is possibly a viral illness, maybe a pneumonia. You know, you don't really see pneumonia in the summer too much, but it is possible. So, yeah, infection was definitely top on our list.
And I understand as you did screenings on lungs, I'm not sure if it was x-rays or MRIs or what, it had a very unique look to it?
Yes, we would first get an x-ray, either in the ER or on the floors. And then sometimes there was haziness. You know, usually you have black in the lungs because black represents air, but sometimes there was just a lot of white. So then we would get a chest CT scan to further evaluate the lung findings. And yeah, we would find opacities throughout both lungs that were definitely contributing to their symptoms.
As you're looking at this, you're not just trying to figure out what's happening to these patients. You are part of a public health early warning system. When did you get to a point where you said, we need to alert public health officials in the state, maybe at the national level, that something weird and unique is happening here?
So in mid-June, when the first patient arrived, he was a previously healthy teen who was having significant respiratory distress, with abnormal lung findings on chest x-ray. So that's already alerting as it is to have someone healthy present like that in the summertime. So then obviously when we got the social history, the one thing that was remarkable was that he was using e-cigarettes. So that was a, you know, just like check. We have to keep this in mind for future patients. But then the future patients started coming in more frequently. To the point where there were several patients in at the same time, and the pulmonologist on call was starting to get, honestly, these kids confused because they all had the same story. Previously healthy, acute respiratory distress, abnormal lung findings, and no signs of infection.
When did you realize you had to ask everybody coming in with these symptoms about vaping, about e-cigarette use?
Sure. You know, I was kind of reviewing some of these charts, and I would have to say that the first people who saw the patient in the ER and on the floors were the hospitalist, you know, and the ER physicians, and they do an excellent job of getting a social history. There's an acronym that they use, you know, HEADSS, where H is home life, E is education, A is activities, D is drug use, S is we kind of got a good social history from that standpoint from the get-go on admission, and all of them, you know, they obtained that history of e-cigarette use.
Is it hard when you're dealing with teenagers and, you know, maybe mom or dad are there in the ER with them to get them to own up to doing something that maybe mom and dad don't want to see them doing?
It's very possible. There are some, you know, I would say handful maybe less than five that may have been not forthcoming with their substance use. But I would say by the time they come to the hospital, they're sick and they're tired of being sick. So they actually participated in revealing this epidemic and this outbreak of lung disease and the potential cause, which was e-cigarette use.
Talking to Dr. Luella Amos from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. That hospital was on the front lines in detecting this still somewhat mysterious vaping-related illness affecting a lot of teenagers. Dr. Amos, after these initial patients came in and you said more started showing up, is this something where you kept seeing more and more teens coming in even after you'd kind of figured out this vaping connection?
Yes, by the end of July, when Children's Wisconsin had the news conference, there were already about eight teenagers who were admitted. And the ninth teenager was admitted after that news conference, likely due to increased awareness of what was going on.
Have we started to figure out treatment with somebody when somebody shows up with these symptoms? How do we help them? There have been fatalities around the country, I think not here in Wisconsin related to this yet. What do we do to treat this?
The first thing that we do is a good evaluation. The reason being, again, the first thing that should come to mind is infection. So we have to make sure there is no infection in the lungs going on. Once that has been confirmed, we definitely support them with what they need, meaning oxygen for their oxygen saturations, try to help them decrease their work of breathing in that way. We've needed to have some patients on ventilators to help them, you know, support their breathing in that way. So that's part of the treatment process. But ultimately, once we were able to rule out infection, then we had to treat them with steroids to calm down the lungs that were reacting to something that was not supposed to be there.
I understand the CDC is saying that most but not all of the patients with these symptoms appear to have used e-cigarette products with THC in them. As you see what's going on with national and state level research, is this guiding what you're looking for now at the hospital?
Yes, we are asking more specific questions from our teens when they endorse e-cigarette use. So we're asking what they're using, what kind of products, when was the last time, are they using their own, are they modifying their devices. So absolutely, it has helped us, it has guided us with our history taking when teens have come in since then.
What's it like for you and your colleagues to know that your frontline detective work here was at the center of shining a light nationwide on this emerging health problem?
We're all very happy that we were able to participate in this. It's overwhelming as well because we did not expect it to become this big of an outbreak. We honestly thought it was going to be more of a local issue. But it's also saddening because people are getting sick and it's something that can be preventable.
What's your message now for parents and teens, for that matter, concerned about vaping and e-cigarettes?
I would say no children should be using e-cigarettes.
That simple.
That simple.
And are there lessons you think you at the hospital or the health community has learned in detecting this, quickly spreading the word about lessons about how the system works for public health?
I think collaboration has been what has created success in identifying this. Not only within the hospital, but also with the Department of Health Services, and then ultimately the CDC to help with the investigation, because we all need to do what we're good at doing, and we want to focus on treating the patients here. So that collaboration has been helpful in figuring out what is going on, which is still to be determined.
This all started in the summer. It's October now. You said you saw more cases come in. Is this still something in now late October? You wouldn't be surprised to see more patients coming in today or tomorrow?
Yes, I'm on service right now in the hospital, if you can hear the bells and whistles behind me. But this week I have not had any patients admitted for EVOLI or for the lung injury. But the last time I was on service, there was one patient. So I think, I hope that the numbers are plateauing and decreasing, especially with awareness. The other thing is that some patients may be able to present in a less acute arena, like at the pediatrician's office, and they hopefully don't have to be admitted to the hospital because they're detecting their symptoms sooner.
Dr. Ramos, I'll let you get back to work. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Luella Amos, a pulmonologist with the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. She was with us today to talk about how she and her team first uncovered the vaping lung illness that officials now say has affected more than 1,500 people around the country. If you want to find out more about their story, you can read about it in a recent piece online at wiscontext.org.